The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
There we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is one amazing day because the New York Giants not only appeared in a playoff game, they won a playoff game by going into Minnesota Vikings Arena. That's not what it's called, but it doesn't matter. And defeating them 31-24, Chris. And I got to say, bro, that was one nail-biting end to a game. Quite exciting. How are you feeling?
Oh, man. I'll say tired, a little strung out, a little wrung out. Kind of the way I have felt after every single Giants game this year, because this team doesn't do anything but nail biters. That is who they are. That is what they do. And it's only fitting that a game against the Minnesota Vikings, another team that only does one score games, they only do nail biters, would end this way.
Exactly, man. I gotta say, I love the small adjustments that were made throughout this New York Giants offensive game plan. Like, how much pony personnel did we see? That's something we've been advocating for quite a while now, right? Pony personnel means two running backs on the field. We saw a lot of Matt Breida. We saw a lot of Saquon Barkley. We saw a lot of motion using whichever running back was the wing back. And then there was one like third and short where they actually handed the football off, which I knew they were going to do eventually. And the Vikings played it phenomenally, but it was a great individual effort from Matt Breida to pick up that first down. But I gotta say, man, there were a lot of great individual efforts from the offensive side of the football. And the defense, man, it wasn't the best game for the defense, but they really stiffened up towards the end of the game. And that's what really good football teams do, right? And that's what really good football units do. So I'm really happy to see that happening. And despite the fact that the refs, I don't know what they were calling with that roughing the passer on Dexter Lawrence, that was a horrendous call, in my opinion.
These refs were, I will say, very inconsistent all game long. You know, they let some things go that were obvious penalties, and then they had other calls that were, you know, just incredibly ticky-tack. What are you even doing here? I got the feeling over the course of the game that they kind of knew they were missing calls, and then they try extra hard to make up for it. And honestly, both teams kind of got screwed by the refs over the course of the game, so at least they were impartial.
Yeah, I would say it was definitely even when it comes to that. But I'm hyped right now, Chris. I'm hyped because the Giants won a playoff game. A lot of people didn't even think this team had a shot of making the playoffs. Daniel Jones, his career is just done, right? Daniel Jones played a phenomenal game within the confines of Mike Kafka and Brian Daboll's system, throwing for over 300 yards, which is not something that he has done consistently this season, throwing for two touchdowns, and then, probably most importantly, rushing for 78 yards. And then Saquon had 53 yards on just 9 carries, 2 touchdowns on the ground. Just that Giants offensive approach against a Minnesota Vikings defense, which, let's be honest, it's not the best defense, but this is what good football teams do. They exploit the weaknesses of the other team. And finally, the Vikings, despite the fact that they won 13 games this season, they didn't win this one score game.
No, they didn't. This is the first one score game they've lost. And I believe this is the first time they've lost at home this year. So, yeah, but kudos to the Giants on both counts. And also, you know, talk about Mike Kafka's adjustments and taking what the Vikings defense, such as it is, gave him. The Giants had so many run-after-catch opportunities. They completely exploited how this Viking defense loves to play with their quarters coverage and the pattern matching, the kind of bend-but-don't-break style of defense. Daniel Jones, I'm just looking on Next Gen Stats, averaged 4.9 air yards on his completed passes, and yet he had 300 yards passing. Yet that really does speak to how Kafka manipulated the Giants alignment, manipulated the Vikings defense, created separation for these receivers, and created just tons of open field for them to exploit and run after catch situations. It was incredible to watch, really.
It's been incredible to watch this entire season. And then the factor that we mentioned a little bit ago too, his legs. If he didn't love what he saw, which is so consistent with everything that he's done this season, he used his legs to pick up first downs, showed his toughness. I don't love seeing him take these big hits in open space, Chris, but I got to say, man, I admire the courage of Daniel Jones and just his overall toughness and how he puts his body on the line. I mean, the Giants converted how many quarterback sneaks, even things like that can go a long way. I mean, the one play, it looked like Kendrick's forearm was in Daniel Jones's throat, but he's still, you know, big enough and strong enough to just lean forward. Speaking of strong, Chris, what about Saquon Barkley taking Dalvin Tomlinson, 315-pound Dalvin Tomlinson for a ride from the 2-yard line into the end zone? It's just great to see these young players on the New York Giants just embody what it means to be a New York Giant and score these touchdowns in these really high leverage types of situations.
Hey, if you can't cover, if you can't squat 315, you shouldn't be in the NFL. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sure that they could squat a lot more than 315 pounds, man. There's a lot that went into the end of this game too, man. Like thinking back, man, it could have been really bad for Darius Slayton because that catch would have ended the game and he dropped it and it was right in his breadbasket.
He might want to send KJ Osborne a very, very ironic fruit basket or something, because his drop basically did for the Vikings what Slayton's drop could have done for the Giants. And yeah, I have a lot of respect for Kevin O'Connell as an offensive coordinator. He was as impressive as Mike Kafka has been and was this game. Which I think we do kind of have to talk about the Giants defense and Wink Martindale's decisions and how he played, but you know, in a little bit. I am very confused by some of O'Connell's play calls this game. Like that kind of lateral from Justin Jefferson back to Kirk Cousins in the first quarter, which, you know, were they expecting Cousins to throw it? Because he didn't look like he was ever even attempting to start to throw the ball. He just started to take off to run. Like, you're throwing the ball to Kirk Cousins to run with it? Okay, he's not Mike Glennon or Nick Foles, but Kirk Cousins has never really been known for his wheels out there. And then having that drag route, you know, 4 yards short of the sticks on a fourth and eight to end the game. Yeah, I get that TJ Hockenson is a beast, and yeah, the Giants definitely need to figure out how to cover a tight end sometime this decade would be nice, but really? Yeah, having a tight end run a drag route, you know, a 4 yard crossing route on a fourth and eight? Yeah, that I get that Wink has been playing a lot of zone in this game, but still, you're inviting the entire defense to just come flying downhill at him. I don't know how you ever expected that play to work, but hey, the Giants will take it.
Exactly. And another thing too, man, Kirk Cousins wasn't sacked once in this game. And that says something, no, right? Because if you were to say, hey, the Giants are not going to sack Kirk Cousins once, you'd be like, oh man, that might've been a long game. You know, that might not have worked out in the Giants' favor, but yet the Giants outgained them by 99 yards, 431 to 332 yards. The Giants had much more time of possession because they had a 20 play, 10 minute drive in the second quarter that ended in only 3 points, which ideally you want to punch it into the end zone there. But Lawrence Cager kind of dropped the ball on the goal line, and there were no turnovers in this game. This was just kind of back and forth for much of the game. And I got to say, both offenses were clicking on all cylinders. Defenses started stepping up a little bit in the second half, and the Giants came up with the big stop at the end. And credit should go to the Giants defense for that. But I still have my concerns about this team's defense heading into Philadelphia.
I definitely agree with that. Now, I do not expect Wink to play nearly as much zone coverage as he did against Philly. It'll be interesting to see what happens along the defensive front, because Azeez Ojulari went down with a quad injury. He was ruled out pretty quickly. So it's probably not a good one. We haven't gotten any update as to what it is or could be. In fact, I'll check the Twitter machine right now. Let me see. Latest.
But onto something else.
Just a quad injury so far. Nobody has gotten any reports on that yet. We'll keep an eye out for that.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
While we're checking that too, man, you already checked it, but we saw a lot of things, Chris, that this Giants coaching staff has done throughout the entire year, right? Like, we saw a lot of quarter personnel. The Giants ran quarter personnel 13% of the time this year, which was significantly more than the second most team. That's what the Giants want. They want 7 defensive backs out there. And when you have hybrid defensive backs like Jason Pinnock even and Landon Collins, it kind of helps you a little bit more, right? And then we brought up the pony personnel a little bit ago, but we saw this Giants offense. Sorry about the ESPN interrupting again. We saw this Giants offense create explosive plays.
They love doing that to us.
Oh, they absolutely love it. It's really annoying. But we saw the Giants offense actually create explosive plays, which says a lot, right? Because what is one of the biggest issues with this Giants offense throughout this year was their inability to create explosive plays.
Yes.
And they were dead last. Like, they were beneath the Falcons and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think on the first two drives, there were 3 explosive plays. And then we saw several more, a lot of them to Isaiah Hodgins, who, look, yeah, people want to still call this guy a practice squad player. I don't think they are anymore, but he's not like this.
Those people are bad and wrong, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
He went north of 100 yards and a touchdown. People be like, yeah, it's against Minnesota. It's like, it's still a freaking playoff game. And some of the catches that he was making were really impressive. Like, Isaiah Hodgins is a very good receiver right now.
Yes. And that sideline grab was amazing. And also, Isaiah Hodgins' blocking resulted in points for the Giants. Like, that big Saquon Barkley run, that was sprung by Hodgins blocking. I believe it was Danielle Hunter. It was either Hunter or Zed Smith out there. You have a wide receiver blocking a defensive end, and he is winning. You know, credit to Hodgins for that. I'm absolutely giving him a game ball. I'm giving Matt Breida a game ball. And I think I would have to give Darnay Holmes a game ball for this one as well, because he blew up a few plays for the Vikings down right at the line of scrimmage, just triggering downhill incredibly quick. And those plays, if he hadn't been there, would have been decent gains for the Vikings. You know, the Giants defense didn't do much, and that, I think, is a concern going to a Philly team that has seen them, 3 times in the last 5 weeks and has had a week of rest. So the Giants defense needs to show up.
They definitely need to show
just
up.
Enough. They did just enough in this game when they absolutely had to.
Yes, and Philadelphia is going to be a totally different animal. We'll preview it at Big Blue View the entire week, what they can do with their rushing attack and how that's going to be more difficult to deal with than what the Giants faced with Dalvin Cook and the Vikings rushing attack. But Justin Jefferson started this game with 5 catches, like, right off the bat. He finished it with 7 catches for 47 yards on 9 targets. And I can't wait to get to the All-22 to see exactly what Wink Martindale did. We knew he was going to use some cover 6 to bracket in, out, cloud, trail, all of those types of techniques to get multiple sets of eyes on Justin Jefferson. But early on, you're like, oh man, this might be a huge Justin Jefferson game. He finishes with less than 50 yards. I think the Giants would sign up for that. Yeah, TJ Hockenson went for 10 for 129 again on 11 targets. That's what TJ Hockenson seems to do against the New York Giants. But keeping Justin Jefferson at bay was a huge focal point for the New York Giants. And they were able to do that despite the fact that they definitely need some work on the defense.
They definitely do. Yeah. At times the Giants had three pairs of eyes on Justin Jefferson, which that created some other opportunities. I think that was kind of a big reason why Hockenson went off and the Irv Smith touchdown. That was a defensive breakdown on the Giants' part. But a big part of that was because they had so much attention being paid to Justin Jefferson, who lined up in the backfield. And then basically the entire defense follows him like it's elementary school kids and playing soccer, just chasing after the ball in a swarm. That I think just speaks to how much the Giants stressed not letting Justin Jefferson beat them.
It's exactly what it was. So look, man, this is a very fun time to be a New York Giant. And the expectations were so low. This is a 13-4 team. And I know a lot of us believe that, they're 13-4, but they can be beaten. And they were. And the Giants were still dogs heading into their arena to play them. And here we are now, the Giants. This is our first playoff win since the last time the Giants won the Super Bowl, which I think is obvious. But at the same time, I kind of was thinking about it this week and I was like, that's kind of crazy, right? Because we always talk about 2016. You're like, oh, we haven't been to the playoffs since 2016. It's like, we haven't won a playoff game since the damn Super Bowl. And here we are winning a playoff game with Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, and Brian Daboll in his first year.
Yes. And not to mention all those other guys whose names nobody knew. Justin Pinnock, Julian Love. We knew Julian Love because, we appreciate him and his game, but the sports media at large, they had no clue who Julian Love was. Isaiah Hodgins coming off the discount rack. Richie James just being brought in to be a punt returner and wind up being a key cog in this offense out of the slot. Daniel Bellinger, rookie tight end, playing a huge role for this team. Even like Ben Bredesen stepping up as a guard. What the Giants have done, what this coaching staff has done with just spare parts, cast offs from other teams, has been absolutely amazing. And quite frankly, they might not want to think they're playing with house money, but it really doesn't matter what happens. They have proven everything they absolutely need to.
Like Al Davis said, just win, baby. Like I'm cool with that, man. I'm all about this winning type of culture. We're not used to it here. And also, man, just like the resilience early on in the game, the Vikings receive the football, Chris, and they drive right down the field like a knife through warm butter against the Giants defense. And then what happens? The Giants match them. But before that, the Giants take that holding penalty off the big Saquon Barkley run that puts them into a first and 20 situation. But Jones finds Richie James for 13 yards to get him down into a second and 7, I think it was. And they just kept rolling from there. And it was Jones on deep horizontal crosses. It was Jones on little quick routes. It was Jones using his legs. And it wasn't even that much running the football. Like I said earlier, Saquon Barkley had 9 carries. Matt Breida had 3, and then Darius Slayton had 1. Daniel Jones had freaking 17, man. It was so much of Daniel Jones's legs in this game, which has been a huge part of the game plan the entire year.
Yeah, it absolutely has been. And the fact that he has been able to stay healthy, I think, has been kind of the biggest thing with that. On my Twitter feed, somebody asked why none of the Giants' other coaches ever thought to use Jones as a runner. And the reason is because, he had the ankle injury in his first season, then he had the hamstring injury in his second season, then he had the neck nerve injury in his third season. This is the first time he's ever actually been able to stay healthy. Yet even back in Duke, he had the collarbone injury. So like you said, having him carry the ball, even if a lot of them were scrambles and there were only a couple design runs, that much is a concern. But if they lose, it doesn't matter. He's got plenty of time to get healthy.
We were legit having conversations about Daniel Jones's neck because he had a little scar here in training camp because we didn't know if he was going to be able to throw the football. Like that was a little bit of a narrative that was going around. And it's just excellent to see this kid take to the coaching and such a credit to the coaching staff. And that's no slight on Daniel Jones. Good coaches are supposed to get the most out of their personnel and their players. But so much credit should go to both Daniel Jones, Brian Daboll, and Mike Kafka for really maximizing his talents because he does have talent and they are being maximized currently.
They are. Yeah. What happens with Jones, that will be addressed down the line. Right now, we've got the Eagles to pay attention to. Mm. You know, we've got, we have to preview them again.
Yeah, I guess so. And it sucks because the last game, there's not a lot to base off of because the Giants rested everybody. So you can base off what the Eagles are doing. But the Giants, I mean, they might have a lot of confidence going into that game now that they won this playoff game, and their twos gave them kind of a lot of trouble down the stretch of that game, holding them to what, like five field goals or something. And only the one touchdown that happened to be, of course, Boston Scott.
Yeah. Yes, of course. So, you know, I think we should probably get around to like getting a look at that tape.
Yes, and we will do that. But Chris, do you have anything else on this New York Giants playoff victory, 31-24 over the Vikings?
No, you know, the only thing is I'm actually just a little bit surprised it didn't come down to like a 2-point conversion or something like that, because again, that's who these two teams are. I'm surprised it was a 7-point game.
It's a 7-point game where the Giants did go for it twice on fourth down, and the Vikings attempted to go for it twice on fourth down, but were stopped on that TJ Hawkinson play, which you're right, Chris, that one doesn't really make sense to me. But everybody, hey, thank you so much for joining us here at Big Blue View Radio and on the YouTube. Please head on over to bigblueview.com. Check out all of our written content. Look, Giants just won a playoff game. Everyone is hyped. Go check it out. We will be covering the next game extensively and reviewing this game extensively as well. So take care of each other, everyone. Enjoy the win and go Giants.